Book of Luke, chapter 16. Verse number 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The Bible said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may tip his finger in water and cool my tongue from tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And thou is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they can they pass to us that would come from thence. I won't try to preach this morning. God's had this on my heart about hell. You know, Bible speaks a lot about hell. And it's heavy on me this morning. You know, if a man's not saved, he's going to end up in hell. I don't know why people think that God is going to merit their goodness. Or God's going to merit you because He likes you. Because you've done some special deed in life. No man goes to heaven unless he's been born again. Nobody can inherit the kingdom of God without the new birth. And no matter who you are, I don't care if you've been a church member all your life. That has nothing to do with you going to heaven. Going to heaven's by the new birth. It's by being born again. If you're not born again, then you don't inherit the kingdom of God. No matter who it is, you better check your own heart. Make sure, make your calling and election sure this morning. Now, when I read this here, I ask the question, is there really a hell? Does the church believe there's really a hell in these days? Do we believe that people that die, that don't know God, do they go to hell? Is that where they go? Does people today, my friend, believe that there really, literally is a hell like the Bible teaches there is? I want to ask you a question. Do you believe there's a hell? Do you really believe that when people die and they don't know Christ, that they go to a place where the worm died not and the fire is not quenched? Do you believe, my friend, there is a literal hell this morning? We've been so desensitized by Hollywood and by other religions and other beliefs that the Baptist church don't believe it no more. Did a loving sovereign God design and prepare hell? He did. He said He prepared it for the devil and his angels. Does God put men in hell? Is hell forever? Is hell punishment on unatoned sin? Is there escape from hell? I don't know nobody's spiritual state but my own. I don't know who's saved and who's not. It looks like to me in Luke 16, Christ just broke her down and said, this is the way it is. That rich man didn't go to hell because he's rich, even though it makes it harder for a rich man to repent. He didn't go to hell because he's rich. Men don't go to hell because they're wealthy. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom. But it didn't say he couldn't. Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He was a rich man.
I believe Nicodemus was too. The rich ruler bowed. He could have got right, but he left sorrowful. There's only one way to get right, and that's repent. You got to repent. And if you repented on the day you say you got saved, you're still repenting. Now, when I look at this morning, I see torment, really. Why does God torment people in a place like this? Question is, why would God, people say, that's such a loving God, torment people like He does here? This man's crying for water. He said, sin lasts, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He said, for I'm tormented in this flame. Why would God torment a man that's such for a man to actually be begging for one drop of water on his tongue? He said, he didn't say a drop. He said, put his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame.
Yeah.
Why would a holy God and a loving God, my friend, bring man under that kind of torment? I'll tell you why. He put His own Son through that torment. He put His own Son through that torment. Christ called it, I thirst, on the cross. Everything a man experienced in hell, he'll experience, Christ experienced on the cross. He was separated from God. Worst thing about Calvary was He was separated from God. He thirsted on the cross. Amen. That's right. I mean, He suffered. That suffering's in hell. If a man goes to hell, he's suffering. I believe people's got the wrong conception about what hell's about, because hell is a place of suffering because of unatoned sin. That mankind has not come to Christ. That mankind's never come as a humble sinner and cast herself at the mercies of God and repented toward God and had faith in Christ. And because of that, they're suffering. There's always a penalty for sin, and the penalty's death, and ultimately the penalty, if a man don't get saved, a second death, and he'll stand before the white throne of judgment and give my friend face him, and he says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God's going to put him into hell. Amen. That's right. He said He's going to open the book. And he said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life is going to be cast in the lake of fire. Amen. He's going to say, bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. He said, they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what he said. He said, the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. That's what God said. That's right. You see, man don't even know where hell is. We just know it's beneath. God knows where it is. He prepared it. That's right. Listen. If a man dies lost, then he's going to hell. And there's no other way. There's no other way about it. I would to God that somebody would have a voice for God in these days and let people know there's a coming judgment. There's a coming judgment. God's got to judge every man. And friend, if he dies without God, he can only be judged as a sinner. And a sinner can't make it to heaven. He's going to have to be saved. He's going to have an atonement in his own life. It don't matter how good a man is in this life. It matters who his representative is. Who, thank God, is his Lord and Savior. And if he don't have Christ as such, he will go to hell. That's right. That's right. Amen. This man went to hell when he died. The Bible said the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. At that time, there was in Hades, there was a gulf, the Bible said. A gulf fixed. It was already fixed. He said, we can't pass. We can't come to you and you can't come to us. In fact, at the resurrection, I believe, thank God, Christ took them captives that was in the paradise side of Hades back to heaven with Him.
Yeah.
And then saints, even God, the graves had walked in Jerusalem all that day. Thank God. I believe He led them out and they went to be with Him. But the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, hell hath enlarged herself. I believe it's enlarged herself in that matter, friend. Thank God, where men are under. the judgment of God in a place called hell. And you say, preacher, if they die right now lost, will they go to hell? That's where they'll go. There's no holding place like the Catholic teach. Ain't God, a man goes to hell if he dies in his sin, because there's nowhere else God can put him. Amen. That's right. Nowhere else God can put a man, but his, where he's headed. Where are you going this morning? Amen. Where are you going? Well, you better religious enough that's going to put you in hell. You'd be better off to be a drunk on the street as to be a lost man playing religion in the house of God. You'd be better off to be a drunk on the street as to play religion down at the church. I'm telling you, the much is given, much is required. When a man has light and he rejects it, then he's a dangerous, he's walking on dangerous ground. Why, God put Korah in hell. Like old Brother Conwell said, God put Korah in hell and wouldn't even let him pack a suitcase. Amen? That's right. He said, get away from them. Don't Moses get away from them. That ground they're standing on was dangerous ground. And God opened the earth up and they went to the pit. That was all that crowd that went to the pit. And my friend ended up in hell. That's where they are. Now, when God burned the fire and the brimstone down from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah, he burned the inhabitants right into hell. That's where they are. That's why he said, Peter, their ashes, amen, are an example of them that shall live that lifestyle hereafter. And every Sodomite, he'll go to hell. I'm telling you that. How the Bible said God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and I tell you, they're going to hell. I'm telling you, friend, in this life, there's an opportunity to get saved. When God says get saved, but there's no opportunity when God cuts you off and says it's it. There's no other opportunity like he did in the days of Noah. I'm telling you what, if God says that's enough, then you're dead set going to hell, friends. That's right. That old adage, as long as you got breath, you got an opportunity. That ain't always so. Proverbs 29:1 said, he that being offered approved, hard as his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
That's right.
That's right. That's what the book says. Amen. I tell you what, people don't want, they don't want the God of the Bible. They don't want a God that will punish sin. They don't want a God that's sovereign and my friend, demands things. He's a God that demands your submission to Him. He's a God that says you'll do it my way or no way. That's what kind of God He is. He's not some God these people's whittled out with their own knife and said, we'll set up a God like they did the golden calf and make a God they can bow down to. He's not that kind of God. He's not a backward collar, amen, God that, my friend, that people think that's so religious. That makes God sick. Yeah, people wouldn't know God if He come around. Amen. These people that go to the pulpits every Sunday and lie to their congregation. Amen. Send them to hell because they don't tell them the truth. Ezekiel said, warn them, warn them, warn them. He said, if you don't warn the wicked, he said, their blood will ever crush your head. I'm not going to leave here this morning and have your blood on my head. I'm going to tell you what God said. It'll be up to you what you do with it. And God said, repent. If you don't repent, then you'll perish because there's coming a judgment day that you're going to give an account to God Almighty, and one day you're going to stand before Him. And you better make things right while you can make things right. Amen. Right. He said, is there really a hell? I've heard people use the word hell so loosely. Like it's just a place you're going to go and have a big time. The Bible said it's outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cry for mercy. God, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy. You can't even, you know what? Hell's so dark you can't even see your hand. Well, in Egypt, my friend, I'm telling you what, that darkness got so dark, they could feel the darkness. They could feel, how would you like to be in darkness for eternity? How would you like to be crying for mercy for eternity to God Almighty and say, have mercy on me? Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! That's what he said. Have mercy on me. It's too late. Too late to have any mercy then. Too late to cry out to God then. It was too late then, Brother Danny. It was too late. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip his finger in water, cool my tongue. He said, I'm tormented. I'm tortured. The word tormented says, I'm tortured in this flame. A man denies there's any fire. Says there's no flame in hell. He's a lying. The Bible said there's flame in hell. The Bible said he's tormented in this flame. I'll tell you what, you're not burned up in hell. My friend, your soul, amen, and your senses will be intact in hell, and you will be able, thank God, to hear and see and taste and feel, amen, and take. There'll be senses in hell. I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, this man lift up his eyes in hell, he's still in hell, and a man, my friend, dies without God, he ends up in hell. I'm telling you this morning. God help us. That's what the book says. God help us. It's a place in the departed souls. Torments me through the notion of going to the bottom. Torture. A touchstone. That's what he said. He said, son, remember. You need to remember. Buddy, I'll tell you what, you need to run to Calvary as fast as you can and fall on the stone before the stone falls on you. That's right, because when that stone falls on you, he'll grind you to powder. You better fall on that stone that he might have mercy on your soul and not let that stone fall on you and grind you to powder. That's what God will do. I'll tell you what, I get around people sometimes and I think, unto God, people are so lost. They don't have an idea about God. Don't have an idea about eternity. Everybody's going up there. I mean, we just talked to people the other afternoon, girl, it's talking about cocktails and everything else. And I thought, man, these people are so lost. You know, that's where we used to be. We was lost and undone without God. The world's lost. The world's ate up in pleasure now. This song, I please my flesh. And this have a little pleasure. And their lovers of pleasure more than God. The church has got to have pleasure now. And it's to get a crowd. You know, they got to have programs. Hey, rise ball games. Everything besides preaching. Everything beside the Holy Ghost. That's why they want children's church. That's why they want all the entertainment they can get. Because they love pleasure. They love it more than God. And they think if I can appease a crowd of people and get them in like that, we can win them to God. I'm telling you, you're lying to yourself. Amen. It's going to be the power of God. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. It's going to be the Word of God. And if a man don't get in that way, he will perish in his sins. Amen. That's right. Amen. Let me answer these questions. God did prepare hell. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me. Listen tight to what I'm about to say. Why would anybody think they're going to God's heaven and heaven's not in them? Why would anybody think they're going to God's heaven and all their friendships are the ungodly? You ever thought about that? Why do you want to go to heaven with the godly and all your fellowship down here is with the ungodly? What do you do heavenly? What do you do heavenly? I'm not talking about earthly. Adam's earthly. Adam's of the earth and all men come through earthly Adam. Oh, I'm not saying we spiritual all the time, but I'm telling you what. If you're saved, born again, you got a heavenly desire. You got a desire to hear from Him. You got a desire to pray to Him. You got a desire to be with His people. Hey, man, you got a desire, thank God, to want to do right. You got a desire to love Jesus. You got a desire to love a brethren. I'm telling you, if you're going to heaven, there'll be some heavenly desires in you. If your best friend is a bunch of lost people all the time, then why do you want to go to heaven with saints? It don't make sense to me. I don't care how old you are. I don't care. It don't matter to me how old anybody is. You're youngest to the oldest. It's still the truth. Don't come to me and tell me you love God and you don't love the church. Don't come to me and say, yeah, I'm going to heaven, preacher. I love the saints of God, but you never show no affection to them. I mean, wake up. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, they just good old people. I don't care. There's a broad wave of good people going right down to hell. I'm not a good person. I'm a saved person. The only thing good about me is because what I am. I'm saved. I still carry Hyde around. He ain't no count. He's wicked, corrupt, vile. There ain't a good thing about him. I don't care what anybody says. If I die now, don't you dare say he was a good fella. Say Jesus Christ is only good about him. Only good. If I got any goodness in me, thank God, it's by cause of grace. Amen. That's it, friend. We're saved people. Why do we want to talk on the or think on the terms of, well, he's a good old boy. She's a good woman. You know what I mean? She does so good things for people. What's that got to do with being born again? After you're born again, you all want to do good things. You've got good works because He ordained you to good works. He put it in you. You're His workmanship unto good works, which God ordained you to live like that. God help us. People say, I'm telling you, I wish I could get in your mind this morning, your heart, to get you to see this is a spiritual habitation and a spiritual organism, and it ain't a social club, and it ain't based on who you are. It's based on who He is.
That's right.
This is His house. This is His people. Every sinner that ever walks in here ought to be nervous. They ought to say, unto God, I'm going to hell. We all shake their hands and say, it's good to see you. I'm blessed that you're here. It's my privilege to have you here. But at the same time, when the worship gets going, and the man of God gets to preaching, and the saints get to testify, and the singers get to singing, something ought to get in their heart to make them feel uncomfortable within their soul after they're dying and going to hell. And unless God gets a hold of their heart, they'll end up in the hell where the fires are burning, friend. I'm going to tell you, they're sinners this here, this morning. They ought to leave the house of God and say, I'm not right with God. I told you not long ago, I'm not Dale Carnegie. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people. I want to be your friend. I am your friend. Amen. A friend loveth at all times. I'll stand with you wherever you at. I might not agree with everything, but I'll stand with you. I guarantee you that. You call me and see if I won't stand because I'm your friend. Everybody just won't do that because they don't have God in them. If you get a phone in jail, call me. I ain't going to say I'll answer the phone, but I'll come up there and see you. What will you say, preacher? I'll say, well, I hate you in this mess, but God will help you if you look to Him.
Yeah.
And I'll say it could be me, but by the grace of God. Now, I ain't saying that's what your mom and daddy will say. I'd expect the same thing out of everybody. But I'm telling you what, if you say you're going to heaven, what kind of traits do you, what kind of desires you have in you that want to go to heaven? Ain't God heaven's a place of born again people redeemed of God that's been washed in royal blood that's going to worship Christ? I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the day that I can be around the throne of God and sing and praises to my God. Amen. If all I got Sunday morning Christianity, I'm junking it.
Right.
I'm leaving that house of God. I tell you what, I just say, look, I'm not going to go to church. I mean, why am I going? Yeah. If I didn't have nothing, either I'm going to get right and say, I'm going to get all the way in, or I'm going to get all the way out.
Yeah.
We got too many bowleggers. They're straddling the fence.
Yeah. Amen.
And every one of you is guilty somewhat.
Yeah.
who come up with that. Let me rephrase that. Every one of us is guilty of somewhat. Straddling the fence. When you going to get on God's side? When you going to get on God's side? Whose side you on? There's something in my heart that says I can't deny Him.
Yeah.
By the grace of God.
Yeah.
I've tried to in my own mind not to deny Him, but just say, Lord, this thing's getting tight and tough. And maybe I could get through by the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. There ain't no easy way. His yoke is easy and His burden is light.
Amen.
But there's no easy way in this thing. You know, even if I left this church and went and joined a liberal church and sat on the back row, that Holy Ghost is going to bar down on me, friend. You ain't getting away from it. It don't matter where you go, who you are. Jonah tried to jump the ship. I was going to preach on the preacher overboard. Jonah got thrown overboard. And I'm going to tell you, you won't get away from Him. It don't matter where you go. If you say, I'm telling you, go the depths. David said, if I made my bed in hell, He would be there. There ain't no other way, friend. I'm telling you this. You might think, well, I don't like old Brother Hyde's preaching. It's awful tight and it's awful barren. Hey, friend, you go somewhere else. But I'll tell you what, if you say born again, I tell the Holy Ghost to follow you wherever you go.
Amen.
That's right, ain't Brother Todd. I ain't never been nowhere where the Holy Ghost didn't follow me.
Amen.
He was in me. That's why He followed me. He speaks to my heart about my sin.
Yes, He does.
But here, this man, he went to hell because, my friend, he rejected any light. He rejected God. He rejected the way to God. He rejected the Lazarus that laid by His gate. He didn't even offer Him nothing. I'm telling you what, he was a proven fact that this man was selfish. All he thought about was himself. And when he went to hell, he wanted help. Amen. You know this world's ate up self. It's all about you. That's what it is. It's all about you. Boy, I didn't know. He taught on a verse this morning. He said, when I was a child, spake as a child, thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. We got 30 and 40 year old men and ain't never grown up. You ain't getting mad at me this morning, are you? But there's some I'd like to give a kick in the rear end.
Amen.
And I don't say that in a boastful, self-righteous way. I get so sick and tired of men not being men. Me and my wife went somewhere the other week, and we just this past weekend, and she said, I've never seen a day of so many soft men. And it ain't talking about muscles, it's talking about heart. This man would. Hey, this man's God was his wealth. What's your God this morning? It don't have to be wealth. It can be something else. But you say, what will I have to give up to get saved? Everything. Everything. It's all or nothing with Him. You don't hold on to nothing. He said that. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And when you get to walk in that straight way, it don't even have room for a suitcase.
You
can't take nothing with you. You can't take your little selfish ways. You can't take, my friend, the world with you. You can't take your gain. You don't need it on that way. He'll provide everything you got. Hey, man, you don't need to take nothing with you. All you got to do is come His way. And when you come His way, everything else will be provided and taken care of by God. But if you don't come His way, I'll tell you what, you'll go the wrong way that leads to destruction. You can ignore me all you want to. You can sit in the house of God all you want to. But I'm telling you what, when judgment day comes, there'll be no excuse because me and I are without excuse.
Amen.
There ain't nobody got an excuse in this church.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, there ain't nobody in America got an excuse.
That's the truth.
Amen. He said in Romans chapter 1, even the creation tells you. And you know what? What God said, the creation will tell you there is a sovereign, supreme being.
That's right, brother.
He's without it. Why you think that man went to Haiti? Why, they could just went to heaven because they didn't know no better. My friend, the whole world could go that way. He went to tell them about Christ before they went to hell. I'm telling you, say, well, what if they don't ever hear? They still accountable. They're not accountable. They might not have heard, but I'm telling you, they're accountable of any life they have. They need to hear the gospel. That's why we say about these little old children here, they're accountable when they get accountable. I don't know what accountability age is. There's a lot of children in this day. Levi, he said he got saved when he was 11. I hope he did. But what's accountable? Well, I mean, I've heard men say they got saved when they were 7 years old. Well, the way some people believe, they couldn't get saved until they were 12.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost, when He makes it real in your heart and lets you know you're a sinner, you're accountable, I'm telling you. That's why mamas and daddies ought to wear the children back in that when they don't do right, because it brings a consciousness in their own heart that they're doing wrong. That's why my mama and my daddy and I owe a great thanksgiving to them this morning for using the rod on me that made it aware in my own life that I wasn't doing right. There's a consciousness within a man that God put there that let him know that he's a sinner.
Right.
That's right. Why do you try to hide when you're doing wrong? Why'd Adam do it? He had a conscience that had been awakened by sin.
Yeah.
And that's why he tried to hide behind the tree. God help us all. We put children in a corner now. That ain't got nothing. That don't help none. You say, I just can't control them. Well, give them to me a week.
Yeah.
I'll take them a week. They won't even take a week. You can't talk psychology in their head. You can't do it. You got to whoop their back in if they need it.
Amen.
If they don't need it, don't spank them. But if they need it, spank them. In fact, the Bible said you spare the rod, you hate the child anyhow.
Yeah.
It don't say spoil the child. It says hate the child.
That's right.
Strong language God uses. This men don't want to use it. That's why they wrote new versions.
Amen.
Get away from the language God uses. God said, He said, foolishness is bound to harm a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
Yeah.
That's right. Old Mr. Dick Redmond wouldn't have put up with it. My daddy didn't put up with it.
Oh, sir.
When we got some raisins, they'd cut down on me.
He'd light it up.
My grandpa told me one time, he said, well, I'll cut down on you, boy. Son, he would have cut down on me. You know, people though, I like what old Rob Martin said one time. He said most preachers won't preach nothing about who God is because people get mad at God in the church.
Right.
What he wrote in this Bible. He said he lifted up his eyes and held me in torment.
Yes, he did.
And he seeth Abraham afar off. He was suffering. I'm telling you, he had torment in hell. Go out into a world today. I don't have many we got here this morning. Maybe 70. Got a few out here or there. Put this 70. If we're born again people, we can take this 70 into the world. It'll make a difference. It would if we're saved. It'd make a difference. Could you imagine people say, we had 70 saved? I said, under God, if I had 70 people saved, we'd have revival.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine this group of people now going somewhere full of the Holy Ghost? It would shake Salisbury.
Yeah.
They would be wanting to put us in the detention center.
That's right.
They'd say them people's crazy. Them people have no sense at all because they're going overboard this thing about being saved. I'll tell you one thing. You better hear what I'm about to say. When you get saved and really saved, there's a difference in your life. And I don't think everybody's saved. Say they are. I'm not the judge. I just preached on that last Sunday morning. I'm not the judge. I'm a judge of my own self. But I just don't believe everybody says they are is. I mean, I don't care who you are. You ought to check up.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. God help, I don't like that kind of business where people are just using psychology to try to get a profession.
Yeah.
I believe the Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart.
Yeah.
You ever sat and thought, what makes me want to read my Bible? What makes me want to pray? What makes me want to go to church? What makes me want to be back tonight? What makes me want to live for God? What makes me love the brethren and love sinners? Well, it wasn't natural. That's the Spirit of God. Read the book of 1 John. There's good evidence in there. It tells you if you love God, I'm going to tell you you'll keep His commandments. There are so many people today that go, you know, there's an unbelievable amount of people that's got a suit and tie today that's went to some sanctuary somewhere and they went through a social meeting and they said a little something good about God and sent them home and they wouldn't even have an idea what the Bible says.
That's right.
And it's sad. It's sad when I look out in the world today and see all these people that you try to tell about God and all they say is, I go to church. Not that I've been saved. Not that I've been born again. Not that I got true salvation. I go to church. Well, it don't make you a Christian. I go to pasture, but I'm not a sheep. But my friend, unless it's God's sheep. You go to the garage, you don't make an automobile. How are you going to be a Christian but best coach say go to church? I go to church because I am the church.
Amen.
There are so many people today that have no idea about God and about heaven and hell. All they know about is, oh, yeah, they up in heaven with Grandpa sitting on the front porch.
Yeah.
You know what a guy told me one time? This really shows you how dumb he is. I wasn't this dumb when I was a lost man. His daddy died. They're Church of Christ people. That means that they believed that you had to be baptized in their church, in water. And because of that, that's why you saved. And his daddy passed away and he said, yeah, I can see Daddy and Bear Bryant sitting up there in heaven now. I thought, you know Bear Bryant, he ain't no more in heaven than your daddy is. I don't care who it is. If you get born again, you with the church.
That's right.
I tell you what, it won't take you everywhere under the sun. It'll put you in church.
Yeah.
I had a man tell me one time the way I preached, he said, you telling me by the way you preach, my daddy's in hell. I said, I didn't say it, God did. I don't know where your daddy is, but I'm just telling you. And they said that about his mama. Come back and said, my mama. He said, you said my mama had to be born again to go to heaven. She is a good woman. I said, the Bible said it.
Yeah.
God help. I'm telling you, if you've been born again and saved by the grace of God, you ought to thank God that you got the truth in you. You say you reckon they got saved? I said, there's no time to tell. I'm not inspecting them. If the seed's in the plant, it's going to come up.
That's right.
Bear a little fruit.
Yes.
Get in a good Holy Ghost meeting, it'll spring up. Say, thank God, I like it.
Yeah.
Instead of getting mad and going and saying, I'll just go somewhere else. I'll go down there to the Southern Baptist. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Huh? So I don't like it, preacher. Well, there's a lot of people don't. I don't preach for you to like it. I preach for to help you in your heart.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, there's coming a day you're going to meet the God of heaven.
That's right.
And you better know you're born again.
Amen.
If you're not, you need to examine your own heart today.
Yeah.
Make sure you've been saved.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly right. Amen. Man, let those eyes in hell. There's a hell. Judgment of God. One day you're going to face Him. Where are you going to be when you die? Both of these men died. One died and went to heaven. One died and went to hell. Where are you going to be when you die? If you die today, where would you be? That's what them old boys ask. If you die today, where are you going to be? You think you're going to live forever here? A lot of people do. That's why they try to live as long as they can. I'm not against that. I want to. As long as the Lord wants me to, I want to live. You think Brother Walters would want to come back now? Ain't no way. Why would he? He's in a better place. Thank God. Hey, man, I don't want you to take this wrong, but I'm telling you what, when I see him, I won't miss nobody. I guarantee you that. I ain't looking for nobody but him when I get there.
That's right.
Amen. Then I'll see my loved ones. Everybody says I'm walking around looking for this. No, I'm looking for him. The one that died for me. Then I'll see the other ones that went there. Amen. And I'm just saying, where are you going to be? Let's stand this morning.